I will now hand over to Carolyn to introduce our fifth and final set of news stories.
Norwich scientists have welcomed the UK's return to the EU Horizon Scheme. Students who have had to move out of the UEA campus due to RAC, the faulty concrete, are being offered free bikes. A Norwich woman is threatening to burn down her house. The organ in a 19th century Norwich church is threatened by arts venue plans, while in another old city building, archaeologists are hunting for hidden stairways.
Businesses in Norfolk are celebrating news that the UK will rejoin the EU's flagship scientific research programme, Horizon, with more than £85 billion up for grabs. It means UK-based scientists and institutions will be able to apply for funding, with companies in Norfolk praising the move as very welcome news. Associate membership has been agreed as part of the Brexit trade deal when the UK formally left the EU in 2020. But it has been excluded from the scheme for the past 3 years because of a disagreement over the Northern Ireland Protocol, prompting widespread concern in the scientific community. Professor Neil Hall, director of the Earlham Institute in Norwich, said the announcement would end years of uncertainty. He said, "For a long time, we have been calling for the UK to become a fully fledged member of this world-leading science collaboration programme. The UK's Horizon Association will mean that we can now play a more equal role in groundbreaking international science collaborations. Before Brexit, our scientists led many successful Horizon collaborations, but recent restrictions have forced them to take a back seat." Ros Bird, CEO of Anglia Innovation Partnership, which manages Norwich Research Park, agreed and added, "This is a very welcome news for the UK and especially Norwich Research Park, where so much groundbreaking research is carried out in the areas of food biotech, agritech and modern industrial biotechnology. It will mean that not only will the institutes on our campus be able to apply for funding from the programme, but it will also open up many opportunities to collaborate with other researchers across Europe."
Students who have been forced off the UEA campus due to concrete safety fears are being offered free bikes to ease their newfound commutes. The University of East Anglia was forced to close 750 rooms in the Grade 2 listed ziggurats due to the presence of reinforced autoclave aerated concrete, RAC. It left officials scrambling to find alternative accommodation for hundreds of students who are due to arrive or return to campus next week. Of these, just short of 600 have been able to remain on campus, but 170 have been forced into the city centre. They will be placed in private accommodation in St Crispin's House, a newly completed block of student flats in Duke Street, close to Anglia Square. The change leaves students having to commute to campus for lectures and seminars, with the university paying the difference in rent costs. To make up for this, the cash-strapped university has offered free bikes or bus passes to ease these commutes. Students with accessibility and mobility issues were prioritised during the process of deciding which students would remain on the university campus. The government recently revised its guidelines on RAC, which was widely used until the 1990s. It has a 30-year shelf life, at the end of which it is prone to crumble and collapse.
A Norwich pensioner who has been left fearing for her life after dangerous drainage caused fire and flooding says she's becoming tired of waiting for drain doctors to fix it. Christine Mays, who's 70 and lives in Bull Close Road in the city's NR3 area, has put up with flooding caused by the pipes for more than 10 years, and the pesky pipes even caused a fire in her home. But despite Norwich City Council officials being sent to her home last week, just days after the Evening News first reported on her story, her problems remain. Ms Mays says that if issues are not fixed, she will simply switch on all of her kitchen appliances, which have so far been off limits after her cooker caused a blaze, and force the council to act. Last week, she was also visited by an official from Norfolk Fire and Rescue, who recommended that the issues were sorted within 5 days, but council drain doctors could not guarantee it would be sorted out within that time frame. After being contacted by this newspaper for a second time, the City Council has now confirmed the issues will be addressed. Mrs. Mays said, "They said it had to be done, so why haven't they sorted it? It will take 2 days at most to do. They've just got to cut the pipes and cap them. The only thing that will take time is digging the trench to connect it all. I still can't use my cooker or anything in the kitchen."
Plans to turn a former church into a music venue have sparked opposition, with concerns the scheme could threaten the future of building's significant 19th century organ. Proposals to transform the Grade 1 listed former United Reform Church in Princes Street, which closed in 2020, have been lodged with Norwich City Council. Applicant, Friars 923 Limited, a company owned by Norfolk developer André Serres, is seeking permission to turn the building into an arts and dance facility with capacity to host live music events with the option to serve food and drink. That has prompted objections from people living nearby, with concerns the venue built by Norwich architect Edward Boardman in 1869 could become a nightclub. The developer has a parallel application to make changes to the building, which includes removing the organ, built by Victorian organ builder Henry Father Willis in 1875. He is widely regarded as the greatest of the 19th century organ builders. Instruments he made also graced the Albert Hall, Crystal Palace and Alexandra Palace. Planning documents lodged with Norwich City Council state the organ will be removed, but do not reveal what would then happen to it. Dr. Andrew Hayden, secretary of the Incorporated Society of Organ Builders, who lives in Freethorpe, has objected to the plans because of his concerns over the fate of the instrument. He said, "It doesn't seem to me that the applicants fully appreciate the significance of this instrument. It is of at least regional significance. To lose it would be an example of cultural trashing. If it is to be removed, something of that significance needs to be offered a new home. You do not just bung it in a skip. A decision on the plans will be made by the City Council in due course."
Archaeologists overseeing the revamp of one of the city's most prominent historic venues are set to go on the hunt for hidden stairways and concealed doors. The 700-year-old halls in St Andrew Street are to undergo a fresh round of investigations as part of urgent repair work needed at the site. While preparations for the revamp are being carried out, including finding a suitable site for a new lift, archaeologists working for Norwich City Council, NCC, will look for hidden features in these buildings, including a staircase and doorway. To carry out the work, a planning application must be approved by City Hall. The existence of the stairs is in doubt, with the suggestion coming from a plan of the building created in 1762 by William Ivory. Ivory was the son of Norwich builder Thomas Ivory, who constructed the Assembly House on Theatre Street and Octagon Chapel in Colgate. An application submitted to NCC said, "The plan by William Ivory shows a spiral stair which provided access from the cloister to the main level and possibly the room over the crypt."
That brings us to the end of this edition of Chatterbox. Here is our regular reminder. When you have finished with the recording, put the memory stick in the wallet supplied and drop it in a postbox, not forgetting to turn the address label over. You do not have to pay any postage at all, as the postal service is free. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Chatterbox, and our thanks go to the whole of the team which has produced it. The editor today was David Potten, and the sound recordist was Simon Pitt. We always like to hear from you. If you have any messages, please do call us on 01603 765 365. That's 01603 765 365. And if necessary, leave a message on our answer phone. We will definitely get back to you as soon as we can. You can also email us on contact@cbtn.org.uk or visit our website on www.cbtn.org.uk. So from Chatterbox, this is goodbye from me, Carolyn Sayer.
And it's goodbye from me, Matthew Tucker.
Goodbye.